Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, whether you're tuning in through conversationsradionetwork.com, through our radio audience, as well as those tuning in online as well. We're glad to have you with us. Dan Eberle is with us today to talk to us not only about his amazing journey in front of the camera as well as behind the camera, but we're also going to talk about his newest project, Sole Proprietor, what it's been like for him to already see the response to it, and what he hopes you're able to take away from the film as well. Now, if you're just now hearing about the film, we'll tell you a little bit later. You can find out more information. But, Dan, hello to you, and welcome to the program. You know, Dan, I think that the great thing about you, as well as others who have been able to, you know, to follow their own dreams, is that, you know, you've been able to kind of share this journey with all of us. We've been able to see it from project to project for you. I mean, what has it been like for you, Dan, to not only to discover what you love when it comes to bringing stories to life, but then to be able to see other people respond to it?
Oh, it's really rewarding. Honestly, the whole journey thus far has it's certainly not been easy, but it is extremely rewarding, especially at the end of the process when the films are done and we can just kind of sit around and tell everyone how great they are. It's really a lot of fun to see people react to it, and it's really compelling for me as the writer and the director to sort of see what people take away from each film, because it's often something very different than maybe what I initially intended. And that's actually part of what's fun about the whole thing.
Right, right. And I think, you know, as you mentioned, you know, being able to write these words, I know when I speak to authors on this program a lot, you know, one of their biggest things is to, you know, have these characters that have lived with them, to kind of have them down on paper, and then, of course, to see them being brought to life in different ways. They talk about, you know, how surreal that is. I mean, is that part of what makes the journey even more fun for you, Dan, because you are so intimately involved in these characters because you did create them?
Yeah, I mean, the process, my process anyway, usually dates back many years. A lot of the projects that we've done so far have actually originated from earlier writing projects, or were sort of poached from other things that never came to fruition. And so for me, I live with these characters for years, and when we see them on screen, it's just a completely new experience. And there's a saying that you make a film three times. You know, you make it when you write it, you make it when you film it, and then when you edit it. And you know, for me, that process, because it stretches out over so many years, it's wonderful to see the evolution of these characters and the reinterpretation of these characters. And it's sort of like watching your babies get born three times instead of just once.
Yeah, for sure. It has to be great. And I noticed when I was prepping for the segment with you, Dan, I watched an interview that you did with your previous film, and you were talking about the experience of course, being at a film festival and being able to share your work there. I mean, you know, I can't even imagine what that's like for you to have, as I said earlier, to have lived with these characters. Then, of course, you're able to see it all come together. To actually be able to see it with others, I mean, is that one of the most surreal aspects of this, to be able to watch in real time as people react to something that you created?
You know, every filmmaker has a different relationship with that experience that you just described. Mm-hmm. I tend to hide most of the time. I mean, understand that, you know, we're sitting in an editing room for maybe upwards of a year watching this over and over and over again. And by the time that we're actually screening it for people, we kind of know how it goes. I know I
right,
do.
Right.
And you know, that first screening at a festival or, you know, at some kind of event is often very, very nerve-wracking. I've certainly sat in the audience through my films before. It's not like I don't ever do it, but that initial screening, I usually am either way up in the projection booth or at the bar having a drink. I would rather hear about it later. You know, when you're rolling out a movie, you're taking it around to festivals, to film series, and, you know, and different screening events. And so that whole paranoia kind of wears off. It's funny. I have zero stage fright. I have nothing but the utmost, you know, confidence during the process. But then when it comes to actually showing the thing the first time, that's kind of where I start to chicken out. But, you know, I get over it after, you know, first or second screening.
Right, right. And now, of course, to be able to have the films under your belt that you have. I mean, the film I was talking about that I watched the interview about was Cut to Black, and you were talking about, you know, being able to go to these film festivals and share. But even before that, I mean, you had, you know, the work that was praised with Prayer to a Vengeful God. And then I think not only, of course, being able to entertain, Dan, but also to make people think. And you definitely, when we get back to Sole Proprietor, we'll talk about that for sure in that story. I mean, is that kind of like the dual mission for you, to be able to give people something they'll enjoy, but also something that they'll think about afterwards?
You know, for me, I definitely don't go into the project with any kind of agenda besides telling the most compelling story possible for myself. So the reason I got into making movies is because I love film, but I never quite saw the film that I wanted to see. And I always thought, oh, well, you know, at some point I could probably do that. So, you know, most of my work is made up of, you know, tropes and archetypes. I mean, I'm a genre filmmaker in the sense that I make a lot of crime and action movies, but that's really just a container for the human experience for me. I'm not all about, you know, making movies just to elicit a reaction, for example. You know, it's except for in some sort of emotional reaction or as you said, like some sort of like interesting harmonic that I create by juxtaposing a lot of these tropes and a lot of these kind of archetypal characters in an interesting way that that maybe you might not see together a lot, you know, just sort of just changing one attribute or putting characters in a situation or environment that you might not have seen them before. And I feel like just by virtue of the fact that you present these characters and their experiences, you know, and their competing motivations or what have you, you will create an interesting harmonic from those two tones, and the audience will derive some kind of unique experience from that. I'm not necessarily trying to telegraph a message with my work beyond the human experience and the. You know, for me, a big theme is, you know, that I can sort of recognize after the fact is, you know, the sort of overcoming of odds, self-determination, that sort of thing. And that is a very universal thing. You know, it's something that everyone aspires to, that everyone deals with, and that everyone, I think, can identify with. And I want to, you know, I really want to bring the audience into the world that I'm creating. And what they get from that is a completely personal and subjective thing.
Yeah. Wow. I think that, you know, and that is what I guess keeps it special for sure. I mean, you know, that you're able to be able to have the enjoyment that you want from it, but then, of course, to know that other people will be able to take something else from it, I think it has to be gratifying too. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Dan Eberle is our guest for this segment. We're speaking with him not only about his journey to be able to do work that he loves, both in front of the camera as well as behind the camera, but also what it's like for him to be able to write and direct and be able to have have a project that he's worked on be able to be enjoyed by audiences. The newest project that's being released this year is called Sole Proprietor. You know, one of the things I noticed when I was prepping for your segment again, Dan, is that, you know, I'm always curious about the process and what it's like, because I know, as you said, you know, one of the reasons why you may not enjoy, you know, being able to watch with audiences so much because you do live with this. I love the idea of how an individual comes up with something. I found back from a couple years ago, you had posted on backstage.com, of course, about this particular film, and you were looking for, at that point, for your lead, for your Sophia. How do you know when you're able to, you know, to have this character that you've created, how do you know when that person's in front of you that that is your person?
You know, in the case of Sole Proprietor, it was actually a unique situation because the script had been written, the character of Sophia had been written, and we were the character was originally written as a Russian expatriate, and she was sort of the counterpoint to Crowley, who is kind of the other co-lead in the story. And they had very sort of similar timbres, if you will. They were very very similar in their outlook, and that was kind of their point of access for each other. So we were looking at a lot of people for that role, and it just, there was something about it that felt redundant. Crowley, without going down a rabbit hole about Sole Proprietor, the character of Crowley is this ex-CIA contractor. So he's not exactly a CIA agent. He's like a contractor that takes on jobs, deniable jobs for the CIA, primarily in Eastern Europe, but also other countries. So he's essentially this thug for hire, and happens to be frequently employed by the government. And he's sort of left all that behind, but he is a bit of a blank slate of a character and a necessarily closed character, you know, very vigilant and, you know, out of necessity, he can't really reveal much about himself, can't be vulnerable. And here he's come to the United States after, you know, faking his own death. And he is really looking to, as he says in the film, join the human race. And he meets this woman who originally, as I said, was supposed to be this Russian expatriate, but you know, they were so similar, their outlooks were so similar that it just seemed redundant. So we met Alexandra Hellquist, who plays the character of Sophie. Now, Sophie is actually a French expatriate. She had a very specific take on the character. We talked for a very, very long time about it, and she felt that that this character should not be such a tough guy, as it were, and really would have a much sort of sunnier kind of attitude about things, and would be a more of a, not necessarily a positive light exactly, but just have a general more playful attitude. And she came in to our audition and basically improvised the character using the story of the scenes that we were using for the audition as a kind of springboard, and it was amazing. It totally knocked us out, and it completely changed my perspective on the character, on that character's dramatic arc. And we went back and rewrote a lot of the script, all of her scenes, obviously, and really kind of relaunched the script essentially with this whole different kind of character. And I think that the film is much better for it.
Yeah. Do you find yourself, I know that you've had the opportunity, Dan, to be able to work with some amazing people. Do you find yourself continually inspired, as you were in this case, by those that are working with you on different projects?
You know, I do, and I've worked with James Parsons, my cinematographer, on most of my films. So our partnership goes back a long way, and our shorthand and communication at this point, just a series of grunts and pointing. It's so ingrained in us, our thought process. But when I'm writing a film, I start with the characters, and so I'm basically developing these characters before I even have a story. The story really writes itself after I have started putting characters on the chessboard. And then when I bring people in to actually embody these characters, it is invariably a totally different experience than what I expected. And because I work with such amazing actors, they, usually bring a completely new dimension besides the fact that they're actually walking around and they're not on the page. These people that we're working with are a constant source of inspiration to me because the characters tend to be so elliptical in nature. I don't spend a lot of time hammering out a huge expository bio on everyone in the film. I have thoughts about where these characters come from and I try to imply as much as possible, but I also really try to give the actors that I bring in a lot of room to play and a lot of room to, develop their own story.
Yeah, and I think that is the amazing thing for sure. So for you, as you said, when you go into it, it's not about having any type of, preconceived idea of what the audience will take away from it, but knowing that you do want to do something that is compelling for sure. Do you think that's one of the things that has kind of kept you consistent along the way, Dan, as you've been able to develop from film project to film project, being able to have that clear vision for yourself as to what your intent is?
Yeah, I mean, luckily all of my films fit in some form into some kind of template, some sort of genre template. And I mean, again, that's really that's my starting point. I'm very inspired by sort of the classic genre of films and novels of yesterday and today. And so, I use that as a kind of springboard for something else. But because I'm using that kind of genre shorthand, there's always a lot of room to work in that environment, either to basically have the story laid out in front of you in such a way where you don't have to spend a lot of time detailing it to the audience because they already know how it goes. And that frees up the creative process to do more interesting things on top of that kind of structure, that pre-existing structure. So that that concept of working with these familiar ideas and trying to put old wine in new bottles, is kind of my trade craft, as it were. I am really trying to play with that as much as possible and see just how far I can take it and obscure some of those things and still create a really compelling experience for the audience.
Right. We're going to be telling our audience more about the upcoming release, of course, for Soul Proprietor and how they can stay connected with it. But one of the aspects that I want to talk to about with you, Dan, in the final part of this segment is about social media and using new media the way that you've been able to do. You've been able, of course, with your films to be able to bring them to platforms that individuals like myself use, like Amazon, to be able to have them available on demand. You use social media to be able to help to spread the word about projects you're part of. What has that been like for you to have that tool available and to use it the way you've been able to not only keep people abreast of what's going on with you, but also with your projects that you're working on?
Yeah, social media is an integral part, not only of the marketing of the films, but in a way to engage the audience and really demystify the process and kind of what we're about. And I think that demystification is a fun thing for the audience to engage with. And it just makes us all seem a lot more approachable, which we are. And also, it's a great way to connect to other creative people, and has afforded a lot of opportunity in that regard. There's plenty of people that I have met through social media that I ended up collaborating with on things, other opportunities, to show the films, through film festivals or other screening programs, or just to hear from people and see how it's working out. There's a quick, funny story. My first commercial release was a film called The Local back in 2008. And that movie came out. It was, you know, had a you know, little festival run, and then had a nice DVD run back when people bought DVDs. This is a while back. And, you know, we made a little bit of a splash, and it was fine. And we were like, okay, time to move on. And then the film started showing up in on the torrents, on the piracy networks. And, you know, it probably had been there for a while. But a month after the release, suddenly the movie had spiked from about 40,000 on the IMDb meter to 100, right under Pulp Fiction and above Spider-Man 4. It was it had taken off, and it had taken off in all these countries and territories that we never sold, like you know, in Asia, in the Middle East, in places where they probably may or may not have access to you know, to this film, and probably a lot of other sort of American indie films that don't get wide distribution or didn't at that time. Right. And all of a sudden, through my social media accounts, I start getting all this fan mail from people all over the world, in Europe and Asia. It was amazing, and it was so gratifying to hear how much this film had moved so many people and had reached so many people. And I've actually been kind of chasing that ever since. It was so awesome. I mean, it was not awesome to not get paid for all of that, but at the same time, the film was seen millions of times, and you just can't, there's just nothing like that, especially considering that they don't necessarily, I mean, they don't get paid to talk to me and tell me how good it is. You know, that's just like a nice thing to do. So I know how difficult it can be to motivate people to engage. And that was a perfect example, you know, at the really the beginning of the explosion of social media, where it allowed me to know that my work had actually reached this massive audience. I don't know that I ever would have known without it. So, right. And then obviously, you know, we use social media all the time now. It's sort of, you know, the cornerstone of every movie campaign and every other kind of campaign.
Right, right. Yeah, and we definitely used it here for sure, and we have used it in being able to share this conversation. Dan and I, I'm so excited that you were able to take out time. I know this is a busy time for you as you're gearing up for the release in August. It's a busy time for you, so we definitely appreciate your being with us. Again, everyone, Dan Eberle has been our guest. He is a writer, of course, and director, and also acts in the new project, Sole Proprietor. So, Dan, how can our audience stay connected with you and keep up with updates about the film and what's going on with it?
We're on a couple of different places. The easiest and most prolific location you can find us on is facebook.com/soleproprietormovie. Or you can just Google Sole Proprietor Film or Sole Proprietor Movie, and you'll see all the places you can find us. But we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and we look forward to hearing from anybody and everyone out there who's interested.
All right. Well, Dan, really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for being on with us. And it goes without saying, with your next project, you're welcome to stop by anytime. We appreciate you.
Thanks so much, Cyrus. Have a good one.
Hey, you do the same thing. And we thank you, our audience, for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live, whether you're tuning in here at conversationsradionetwork.com through our radio audience or those tuning in online. We're glad you all could be with us as well. If you are joining us online and came in late and missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media site. So head over to facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on the link there, listen to the show completely for free, and share with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.